News Radio KMAN. Good Monday. I'm Dave Lewis, and Brandon Peoples is, and this may be kind of a regular thing for us where Brandon is off covering the Pottawatomie County Commission meeting. And so I am in over here this morning on the other side of the glass, and Stephen Schaefer is over stage left, I guess we could say, Jamie.
Yes, we could.
being our producer here of the shows today, and we appreciate him coming in and helping out with that as well. So he's doing a fine job. Jamie Morse Hardiman is no stranger to the program. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you here. And, you know, we were talking before, and this is just a little bit of background. Now, you've been involved in a lot of things. Of course, you were on the City Commission Didn't you win a flip of the coin?
No, I lost the coin toss.
You lost the coin.
I lost the coin toss. So here's my plug for voting. People say your vote doesn't matter. I lost an election in a coin toss. So vote every election. No, I served 4 years on commission, and it was an amazing experience.
Isn't it, though?
It really is. It's fascinating. I learned so much about our community. I'm sure you felt that way on County Commission, that you get a more intimate view of what's really happening in this town.
Saturday night met I was working with a family with a wedding Saturday, and the father of the bride had run for a county commission up in Atchison.
Okay.
And he and I had this fascinating discussion just, you know, on the engagement and gosh, the misunderstandings,
right.
Political junk that you have to deal with. And, you know, the fact that so and I think that this is one of the great frustrations, you know, if you're, you know, in that kind of capacity is, you know, educating the people.
Oh my
gosh. There's so much that people don't understand.
No, they don't. Or who does what?
Yes.
Right? I mean, I was saying that when I was on the commission, people would say, we need to change school start times.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's lovely. And that needs to go to the school board.
Exactly.
Right? You know? So I felt like I spent a lot of time doing just basic education of what does the city commission do? What do the other entities do? And how can you get involved?
And, you know, and the same with the county, because, you know, with the city and the county and the Kansas Department of Transportation with roadways, you know, there are so many different things.
Right. That child doesn't belong to the city, right?
Exactly.
You know, so, yes, there's all these issues
Boulevard,
people just aren't aware of.
Fort Riley Boulevard, there's some limitations there. But that's not what we brought you in for. But, you know, it's a great discussion. But, you know, in order to give our listeners some background on you, I wanted to put that in.
Thank you
for your service.
Thanks.
But you also were with CASA for a long time.
I was. 17 years with Sunflower CASA.
17 years?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and it was amazing. CASA is an incredible organization, and kids in the foster care system need a voice.
Well, obviously, you have a great heart for people in our community, and now you are involved with Thrive.
I am.
And to me, I think Thrive is still kind of a new
organization. It is. We're only 4 years old, right? So it's still pretty new.
And that's still new. So, let's tell our listeners a little bit about what Thrive does.
Okay. So Thrive is a poverty reduction program. The idea is if you're struggling financially, we want you to come be part of our program. And so for 18 months, people are involved with us as we try to help them get to a point that they're not in survival mode every day. When you're struggling financially, everything's about survival. How do I pay for my rent? How do I put food on the table? There's no thought beyond that because there can't be. And so we try to give people the space to think, what do I really want to do with my life? What are my goals? And how can I get there? And we provide the support to make that happen.
That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but it's been very productive. I really feel like the families that we've worked with have had significant change in their life.
How is Thrive funded?
We are, like any other nonprofit, mostly fundraising. So private donations make a big difference for us, but we do have funds from the City of Manhattan and from United Way.
Okay. All right. And United Way is in their big fundraising.
Yes,
time
they are.
Right
so, yes,
now.
United Way, give to United Way.
Yeah. So, and that helps out not just Thrive, but
so many organizations. Manhattan has a huge safety net, and we're really fortunate for that.
Last year, I was part of the allocation process and determining where some of those monies went. And, you know, and that is something I think, you know, we talk about being involved in the community in a lot of ways, but being part of that allocation process it's a challenge.
Yes,
but also it really enlightens you on a lot of the challenges that community face.
I would encourage anyone to think about being part of that committee because you really learn about social services in Manhattan, what people are doing, and what the need is.
And it doesn't matter what your background is.
No, it doesn't matter at all. No. Yeah. I think it's a great learning experience.
And I know you can talk to Tara Clausen, and she'll be more than happy to include you in the process.
Yes.
Because it was a tremendous cross-section of people that were there, part of that decision-making process.
Right, so. Right.
Okay. All right. So let's talk more about Thrive, because that's why you're here.
That's okay. I'll talk about whatever. I'm good. I'm an easy guest.
You and I can go
over. We could just talk.
Yeah. We have that innate ability, don't we? Another thing about Thrive, you're tied in and you work also, and this kind of leads into our next subject, with the Fit Closet.
Correct.
For USD 383.
Correct. So I've been volunteering with the Fit Closet now for about a year and a half.
And that's another new entity to the community.
It is relatively new. Yes, it is. And, you know, it's part of the Fit Families and Transitions program for the school district, which deals with families that are defined as homeless. Right now, there's 387 kids in our school district defined as homeless. Now, that's a different definition than living on the street. Homeless could be I'm sharing an apartment with someone else, but my name's not on the lease. It could be that you're sleeping in your car. But 387 kids, that's phenomenal.
That's 5%, right? Roughly, yeah. Of the enrollment at USD 383.
Correct. Correct. And those are the ones who self-identify. Not everybody's going to choose to say, yeah, I'm in that situation.
Does that include kids that are like maybe living with grandparents or other family
not
members?
Not necessarily. Okay. Not necessarily. The definition is different. It comes from the Department of Ed. And so it's not traditional homeless, as you would think of in your mind. But they're kids without stable housing.
Mm-hmm. And Fit Closet does a lot of neat things. Of course, you know, we tied in with Fit Closet here with Stuff the Bus.
Yes. So I helped a lot with the school supply distribution. That was quite the process.
Yeah.
700 and some backpacks filled up with supplies given out to students in our district who are on free or reduced lunch.
And I think I saw, maybe you posted this, but you know, if you see backpacks that are on closeouts,
yes,
this time of year,
buy them. Oh my gosh. Dylan's right now has backpacks for $4.80. Stock up. Take them to the Fit Closet. So the Fit Closet's at 1609 College Avenue. They're behind the College Avenue United Methodist Church. It's a great place to drop off clothing that you have, but also it's a great place to go if you want to buy some on-sale school supplies. They could still use backpacks right now. They can store them for next year. So please think about that as you see those things on sale.
Is there still a need for school supplies?
There are still a need for backpacks.
Okay.
So everything else pretty much is taken care of for right now, but there are still some students who didn't receive backpacks.
Okay. All right. So let's clean out those little storage
units. That's right. Go find them. Go find them on sale.
And wherever you find backpacks.
That's right. Wherever like you're that. Shopping, yes, go find some backpacks on sale.
Okay. All right. Well, you have an event coming up that Thrive is partnering up with the Fit Closet. And let's talk a little bit about this event that's scheduled for October 16th.
Okay. So we're still a ways out from this. But there is a documentary from Frontline called Poor Kids, where three children living in Iowa, their lives were examined back in 2012. And the kids talked about their life situation. They talked about what it felt like to live in poverty. They talked about the challenges. And then that documentary was updated in 2017 to see where the kids were 5 years later. And that's the one that we're going to show. It does some of the beginning introduction to the kids, but then also does some follow-up with them. So that movie's about an hour long. We're going to watch that at the public library on October 16th at 7 p.m. And then following that, we're going to have Tracy Emery from the Fit Closet come and talk about homelessness in our school district, talk about ways that you can get involved, talk about the problem. A lot of people don't believe that there is poverty in Manhattan. That's probably my biggest barrier in what I do at Thrive, is convincing people that poverty really exists in Manhattan.
Well, when you talk about, you know, over 300, what'd you say, over more than 350 kids,
yeah,
are classified as homeless in,
correct,
the community. You know, and I know that this is, you know, there's a lot of other aspects that come into this, but that's an astonishing number. And,
yes, it is.
And some of us, I think we live in a bubble.
Of course we do. I certainly do. You know,
because
if I didn't have this work, I wouldn't know.
You don't really have the visual.
No, you don't.
Of seeing homeless,
right,
kids that,
right,
are,
they're not sleeping
on the
in
street
city park,
or living in their,
right,
cars or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see it. But, you know, 40% of the kids in our school district are on free or reduced lunch. That's another indicator of poverty.
40%.
That's pretty significant. So, and a lot of these are working people who are just not able to make enough money to get ahead. And it's a real struggle. It's a real struggle in this community.
Yeah. Okay. So, this movie, tell us about this movie that you're going to be showing, this documentary.
Poor Kids, it is really fascinating. The kids, there's Brittany, who's nine, with her older brother, Roger. they're living in a home. So they have stable housing, but there's a lot of other issues for them. They don't have enough food. They're struggling to be able to provide for their family because their dad has lost his job. Then there's Johnny and his siblings, whose dad had his own contracting business, but after the recession of 2008, lost his business, and they're living in a homeless shelter. Johnny says in the movie that he doesn't want anyone to find out where he's living because people are going to make fun of him if they know that he's living in a homeless shelter. And he really wishes that he didn't have to live there. Right. So, I mean, it's just a lot of struggles from the part of kids. And what strikes me as I watch this film is how much stress those kids have taken on into themselves. Right. They know what their parents' problems are. They know the struggles and they're dealing with that on a daily basis, worrying about how is my mom going to be able to provide food for our family, worrying about what happens if mom loses her job and we have to go live in a hotel, which happens to one of these families. You know, the struggles are real. And then I think about those kids in education. Right. We want everyone to get an education so that they can get out of the cycle of poverty. But if you're living in a state of total stress all the time, how much education do you really get? Right. Can you concentrate on school if you're worried the whole time you're there about what's going to happen when you go home that night?
Is there a mental health component here?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yes, there certainly is. And really what it is childhood trauma. A lot of people that are in poverty suffered significant trauma in their childhoods, like these kids who are living through this very stressful time. High levels of stress hormones actually reworks the way your brain is wired, and particularly in childhood. So here we have people who are struggling with anxiety and depression, and a lot of that can be attributed back to what their experiences were in childhood.
Yeah. We have a minute left here, so let's talk a little bit about the details of the event and how to get hold of you.
Awesome. So October the 16th, 7 p.m., Manhattan Public Library Auditorium. You can find us online at thriveflinthills.com. You can give me a call at 877-376-0032. But this event's free and open to the public. I'd encourage you to come and just learn more about poverty in our own community and what people are doing to try to combat that.
And you can always donate to help out.
Of course you can.
Pick up backpacks, whatever the case may be, for the Fit Closet.
There's tons of things you can do to help in this community.
You know, and laundry detergent for Judy, right? You came in on short notice, but boy, you weren't short on content, were you, today?
Nope, I've got lots to say.
I know how that goes, too. It's just that, you know, most of the people don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I like to hear what you have to say.
Oh, bless your heart. You're so sweet. Jamie Morris Hardiman, thanks also to Judy Davis and the whole crew from the Manhattan Parks and Recreation. It's been an action-packed In Focus. And when we come back from CBS News, it's the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. Vern's going to be back with a number of folks from the library and the 9/11 Remembrance Ceremony.